Hawser thought he saw small white eyes beyond the slit staring at him.
"Oh, yes, let's bring the coward. Let us do what must be done."
Mr. First spoke in ringing tones to the emaciated humans gathered around the fire. A few stood up and walked off behind Hawser toward the forest. The rest started singing and chanting. After a few minutes, Hawser heard a scream, then a series of yells and screams, gradually coming closer. At last, the people who had left came back, carrying a short, thick log, much like the one Hawser was held by. Swinging on the pole was a young man, screaming, shouting in the language Hawser didn't understand and struggling. Hawser saw drops of sweat and saliva fall from the young man's face and spot the sand. The log was sharpened at one end. That point was driven into the sand on the opposite side of the fire from Hawser, so that the young man faced the changer.
"This my libation from the seas," Fuisong said to Hawser, pointing at the young man, who was quivering and moaning, his eyes rolling about in their sockets and his lips dribbling. "This is my naughty boy, called 27th since his rebirth. This was one of our respected, much-loved sons, one of our anointed, one of our fellow mortals, one of our brotherly taste buds on the great tongue of life."
Fuisong's voice chortled with laughter as he spoke, as though he knew the absurdity of the part he was playing and couldn't resist hamming it up.
"This splinter from our tree, this grain from our beets, this reprobate dared to run toward the seven times cursed vehicle of the vacuum. He spurned the gift of burden with which we honoured him. He chose to abandon us and flee across the sands when the alien enemy passed over us yesterday. He did not trust our salving grace, but turned instead to an instrument of darkness and nothingness toward the soaking shade of the soulless ones, the anathematics."
Fuisong looked at the man still shaking on the post across the fire from Hawser. The prophet's face went stern with reproach.
"By the workings of fate, the traitor who ran from our side and put his prophet's life at risk was caught, so that he might learn his sad mistake and make good his terrible crime."
Fuisong's arm dropped. The vast head shook. Mr. First shouted to the people round the fire. They faced the young man called 27th and chanted. The ghastly smells Hawser had sensed earlier came back, making his eyes mist and his nose tingle. While the people chanted and Fuisong watched, Mr. First and two of the women followers dug up small sacks from the sand. Out of them, they brought some thin lengths of cloth, which they proceeded to wrap round their bodies. As Mr. First put his vestments on, Hawser saw a large, cumbersome-looking projectile pistol held in a string holster beneath the man's grubby tunic. Hawser presumed that was the gun fired at the shuttle the day before when he and Mip had overflown the island. The young man opened his eyes, saw the three people in their cloths, and started screaming.
"Hear how the stricken soul cries out for its lesson, pleads for its bounty of regret, its solace of refreshing suffering."
Fuisong smiled, looking at Hawser.
"Ah, child, 27th knows what awaits him, and while his body, already proved so weak, breaks before the storm, his soul cries out, 'Yes, yes, mighty prophet, succour me, make me part of you, give me your strength, come to me. Is it not a sweet and uplifting sound?'"
Hawser looked into the prophet's eyes and said nothing. The young man went on screaming and trying to tear himself away from the stump. Mr. First was crouched before him, on his knees, his head bowed, muttering to himself. The two women dressed in the dull cloth were preparing bowls of steaming liquid from the vats and pots around the fire, warming some over the flames. The smells came to Hawser, turning his stomach. Fuisong switched to the other language and spoke to the two women. They looked at Hawser, then came up to him with the bowls. Hawser drew his head away as they shoved the containers under his nose. He wrinkled his face up in disgust at what looked and smelled like fish entrails in a source of excrement. The women took the awful stuff away. It left a stink in his nose. He tried breathing through his mouth. The young man's mouth had been wedged open with blocks of wood, and his choking screams altered in pitch. While Mr. First held him, the women ladled the liquids from the bowls into his mouth. The young man spluttered and wailed, choked and tried to spit. He moaned, then threw up.
Let me show you my armoury, my benefaction,
Fuisong said to Hauser, and reached behind his vast body. He brought back a large bundle of rags, which he started to unfold. Glittering in the sunlight, metal devices like tiny man-traps were revealed. Fuisong put one finger to his lips while he surveyed the collection, then picked up one of the small metal contraptions. He put it into his mouth, fitting both parts over the pins Hauser had seen earlier.
Yeah,
Fuisong said, raising his mouth in a broad smile toward the changer.
What do you think of that?
The artificial teeth sparkled in his mouth, rows of sharp, serrated points.
Oh, jeez.
Fuisong swapped them for another set, full of tiny fangs like needles, then another with angled teeth like hooks with barbs, then another with holes set in them.
Good, eh?
He smiled at Hauser, leaving the last pair in. He turned to Mr. First.
Ah, you think, Mr. First, is?
Fuisong took out the set with the holes, put in another set, like long blade-like spades.
Jeez, I ink eager and ash, ash. What a start this is. Let's harness those naughty tootsies.